Our scripture this morning is taken from the book of Deuteronomy. I'll be reading from chapter 11, verses 26 through 28, and then Pastor Eric will continue reading some verses out of chapter 5. In the beginning verses that I'm going to read, we hear that we will be blessed if we obey God's commands. This blessing does not mean everything in life will go our way, but rather we will be at peace with whatever happens in our life because we know God on a heart and soul level. So chapter 11, verse 26. See, I am setting before you today a blessing and a curse. The blessing if you obey the commands of the Lord your God that I am giving you today. The curse if you disobey the commands of the Lord your God and turn from the way that I command you today by following other gods which you have not known. This is the word of the Lord.
Please join me in prayer. Gracious Lord God, we come before you to read your word, to study your word, that we might learn it and know it and live it. Lord, pour out your spirit upon us for inspiration, for encouragement, for direction. In Christ we pray. Amen. I'm going to share an opening story with you that I probably am going to get in trouble for, and because it's a story, I'm going to talk about my mother of when she wasn't happy with me. Now I'm going to get her unhappy with me twice, but I'm going to share it anyway, and then it's a reminder that I have to go back and get permission from all of my family members to now talk about them, because before they never knew what I said, but now some of them are following on Facebook, so I have to be more in tune with that. My mother was hospitalized for about 5 days a couple of weeks ago with some serious things going on. My older sister, Jane, is the medical power of attorney for my mother, and Jane did a very good job of keeping the rest of us up to date on her condition and her progress. And as our mother was nearing discharge from the hospital, I called my sister because I kind of helped mom with some of the financial things. And so I thought Jane and I should talk about what might have to happen next. We weren't sure what level of care my mother might need when she got discharged and whether she could remain in her independent duplex for the next couple of months or for the next couple of years. So I took it upon myself to start doing some background checking on what might be an assisted living place my mother could move to. Before I got too long into that endeavor, I chose to call my mother and talk with her about what I was doing. So we got through all the typical things we talk about. And then I said, Mom, I need to tell you that, you know, I've contacted a couple of your friends about your care and those kind of things, but I also want to let you know that I've talked with the Lodge, which is the assisted living place that's right next to her, and she got very quiet. Why would you do that? And she said in a tone that was not necessarily, I mean, my mother did not like my honesty. I couldn't believe that. But she didn't understand that I was thinking about her care down the road. She was just in that moment. And I realized I was kind of stepping on my mother's toes. And it got kind of quiet for a little bit. And I said, Mom, remember, I'm just doing this. I talked with Jane a little bit, so now I got my older sister in trouble too with my mother. So there's three things. But we worked it out. I thought, Mom, it's because I love you. Remember, I'm one of your children. And we're just always talking about what might be next. And then after a little while, my mom decided, well, I've already called some other place. So she was doing this already, but I kind of caught her off guard. And in a way, I was stepping on her toes. You know, we've talked again, and things are working out, but I don't know that my mother likes to be mentioned on live and all that kind of stuff. So we'll deal with that later. I think about that because my mom got a little upset with me, and, you know, maybe rightfully so. I thought about that as I started to think about the Ten Commandments, because depending upon whether you see God speaking through his word this morning or you're just focused in on the words I'm going to offer about God's words, I'm going to say God might be stepping on our toes this morning, or you might be thinking Pastor Eric is stepping on your toes as we look at the Ten Commandments. So that's going to be our look this morning, and hopefully you can follow all along. Angel Ministries is the umbrella organization of many diverse ministries of Ann Graham Lotz. And you get the capital A, the capital G, the capital L, Ann Graham Lotz Ministries. According to their website, Angel Ministries is committed to giving out messages of biblical exposition so that God's word is personal and relevant to ordinary people. In their winter quarterly newsletter, Ann Graham Lotz shared a devotional in which she used road pavement markings to illustrate the boundaries for safe living that God provides through his road markings, such as the Ten Commandments. Ann wrote, "When we drive down the road, painted lines on the pavement provide helpful guidance. A dotted yellow line lets us know that if the lane of oncoming traffic is clear, we can pass cars that might be in front of us. A solid yellow line means no passing is allowed. By these markings, the highway department is not trying to take away our joy of driving, but they're trying to make sure that by the lines on the road, we are kept safe and we help keep others safe while each are on our way to our destination." Anne goes on to write that in a similar way, as we live and travel along the road of life, we can push the boundaries that God has established for us. Now, I shared that at 8 o'clock service and someone caught my eye that I know pushed the boundaries of life this last week, and they kind of cracked a smile and I kind of lost it there for a little bit as I tried not to catch that person's eye too much, but we talked afterwards. And sometimes when we push those boundaries, we get hurt. Not just physically, we can also get hurt spiritually and emotionally. We push those boundaries at our own peril, at our own risk. If we go outside the road markings that God gives us, the likelihood is that we're going to get hurt and others around us might get hurt too. At the very least, we will experience life on a different level, a lower level than what God intended. The alternative is to take God at his word, stay within his boundaries, and trust him to know what's best for us. Can we do that? Can we each take God at his word, stay within his boundaries, and trust him to know what's best for us? Now, the first and the third part of that question goes without saying. I mean, that's God. It's his word. He certainly knows what's best. It's that middle line that we might struggle with. Can we stay within his boundaries? Let's review some of those boundaries that God has set forth in what we call the Ten Commandments. Anne's devotional raised the question about the worth or the present value of the Ten Commandments. Since they're in the Old Testament of the Bible, many may not think that they apply anymore, since Jesus reiterated only two commandments. Matthew 22, 36 and 40, when Jesus was asked, "Teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law?" Jesus replied with the two. "Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment, and the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself." And Jesus went on to say, "All the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments." If you read this passage, either superficially or if you just read those two commandments on their own, you might understand why many in the Christian church today are only focused in on love. And love is a serious, necessary attribute of the Christian faith, but there's so much more involved than love. And Jesus goes on to talk about that in a couple of other places. As we consider the subject of laws and commandments, it's important to remember another passage where Jesus taught in Matthew 5, 17. "Do not think that I have come to abolish the law or the prophets. I have not come to abolish them, but to fulfill them." Jesus did not repeal. He did not revoke. He did not render the law or the prophets invalid. Not at all. That's why we still go by the road markings, the boundaries of the Ten Commandments. As God's Son, Jesus was without sin, and he could perfectly follow the law of God. The law is not the path to righteousness. Jesus Christ is the path to righteousness. But God still gives us these markings, these boundaries of life for us to follow. It points out our sin, and it points a way for us to know God through Jesus Christ. The law helps us stay spiritually safe. The Ten Commandments are certainly very much still in play in our own lives of faith, whether they are in the old or the new. For as Paul instructs Timothy in 2 Timothy 3:16, all scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the people of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. Yes, all scripture is God-breathed, divinely inspired by the Holy Spirit, all to be used as road markings along our path of faith. So we need to consider and heed the promises or the warning of Deuteronomy 11:26 through 28 that Tammy read for us, the blessing if we obey and the curse if we disobey. We're going to look at Deuteronomy chapter 5 and review or learn the Ten Commandments of the Lord our God. Deuteronomy chapter 5. God's primary desire in establishing the covenant with Israel was to have them delight in him and follow his commandments with a joyful heart. Just as the highway department does not want to take away our joy of driving, God doesn't want to take away the joy in our hearts from following these laws, but he wants to keep us spiritually safe. And for the Israelites to have that joyful heart, for that to happen, they had to hear the commandments, they had to learn the commandments, and they had to follow the commandments. So we have to hear and learn and follow. So we're going to quickly look at the Ten Commandments, realizing this is at least a 10-week sermon series. We're going to do it in the time that we have left. Number one, you shall have no other gods before me. How many? None. No other gods, whatever they might be. Nothing was to come before the love of God or the relationship with God. It was common in that day for people to have several different deities that they worshiped. But with Yahweh, with the Lord God, he is the one true God. Those other gods that all other people might put in the way, which if we're honest with ourselves, might be in the way between ourselves and our relationship with God. Money, fame, pleasure, power. They can enslave you. They can enslave you. They can take your focus off of God. And remember, God knows what is best. And so he says, you shall have no other gods before me. The second commandment, you shall not make for yourself an idol in the form of anything in heaven above or on the earth beneath or in the waters below. You shall not bow down to them or worship them. Idols. That golden calf that the Israelites constructed, not to bow down or worship them. Those idols, they represent evil forces that can take over our hearts, take over our minds. They weaken us. They can deceive us. They can draw us into evil attitudes, evil words, actions, and thoughts. God goes on, for I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, punishing the children for the sin of the fathers to the third and fourth generation of those who hate me, but showing love to 1,000 generations of those who love me and keep my commandments. The judgment of God is real, but that judgment is balanced by his extending grace and love generation after generation. Other gods, idols, Deuteronomy 18, verses 9 through 14, is something you can look up later. Deuteronomy 18, 9 through 14, it offers a further insight about other gods and idols. The third commandment, you shall not misuse the name of the Lord your God, for the Lord will not hold anyone guiltless who misuses his name. The Israelites, they could use the name of the Lord, but they could not abuse or misuse his divine name. I heard a recent sermon, a pastor preach on this commandment. And he was saying that the most common understanding of this commandment is that it prohibits the verbal misuse of God's name. And that certainly is true. But there's a greater meaning that we need to understand about this commandment. We misuse the Lord's name when we fail to be obedient to the laws of God. If we profess faith in Jesus Christ, but our words and our actions are hypocritical in nature, we are also misusing the Lord's name. So as we trust in Jesus Christ, as we worship God, we have to know God, we have to follow God, we have to be obedient to God. It's not enough just to love. We have to completely give ourselves to God. That's why there's no other gods and there's no idols. The fourth commandment. Observe the Sabbath day by keeping it holy, as the Lord your God has commanded you. This is the commandment I was thinking of when I mentioned at the beginning of the service that people's toes might get stepped on a bit. Society operates on a continual basis. 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 52 weeks a year, 24-hour news coverage, 24-hour shopping, 24-hour dining, 24-hour travel, nonstop television and movies and music. It's what made the COVID-19 stay-at-home order seem so drastic. Much of everything we do and enjoy came to a screeching halt. Many people made great use of the downtime to deepen their relationship with God through Bible reading and meditating upon the Word and praying and encouraging others. What is the spiritual hunger level of Christians in today's world? What's the spiritual hunger level of Christians in today's world? What's a good gauge of spiritual hunger, of faithfulness to the Lord? I think it could be this commandment. To observe the Sabbath. Now, I told 8 o'clock people they were safe because they were present. And at 10:30, it was going to be a little different because Facebook Live and next Sunday, this is going to be on the radio. But just because you're here doesn't mean you're safe. Because you're present means one thing, but are we being hypocritical in our presence? Or are we really honoring God in our worship? Do we want to be here? Why are we here? Because we want to look good in the eyes of others, or because we love God so much that we want to be in worship, whether that's in the sanctuary or following along in other ways? The Sabbath is more than just our worship of God. There is more involved. Observe the Sabbath day by keeping it holy, as the Lord your God has commanded you. This is the commandment that I was thinking about earlier, and it goes on. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, neither you nor your son or daughter, neither your manservant or maidservant, nor your ox, your donkey, and so forth. The Sabbath is about worship, but the Sabbath is also about rest. And I used to work a lot of Sundays prior to becoming a pastor in the church. And every time I have gone out of the boundaries to work on Sunday, most of the time on a mission trip, everything we did came to naught. And God was very patient with me. And finally, I do not work on Sundays. A week ago, we had a new roof put on my house. We didn't get it done on Saturday, and rightfully so, we should have been finishing it on Sunday morning. No, 6 days you shall labor and do all your work. Fortunately, it's undercover. We didn't have to worry, unfortunately, about rain. And so it got done Friday and Saturday this week, not today. A couple of people have asked me about that. Sunday is a day of rest. It's a day to stop the 24-hour nonstop cycle. And I know we all rest differently. Physical rest, mental rest. Some of us like to mentally rest by doing work that's different than what we might do for an occupation. But it is about rest. It is about worship and it is about rest. And so in this commandment, we need to slow down. I think about this almost every day that I go home for lunch or when I leave at the end of the day. Somehow, the cars in front of me never follow the road markings. They never are following the speed limit. It goes 35 to 45 to 50 to 55. The cars in front of me never get past 45. And I want to pass them as soon as I'm past Arrow True Line, but I have just taught myself, slow down. I am going to save 30 seconds between there and by the time I get home by whipping around them. Just slow down. And I've been doing that. You know what God has done? He's worked it out in the morning, the coming in, the people are also going slower, 10, 15, 20 miles slower. Slow down. Don't complain about those trains up there. Just sit there and relax and slow down. Say a prayer. Memorize some scripture. Don't get aggravated. One thing that I did this week was I got to touch base with churches, nine other pastors from nine other churches this week, about opening up as we were set to, quote, be back to normal today. But we had some caution expressed, and so we still have social distancing in place. There are several churches in our area that are opening up today because they knew attendance would be extremely low on the holiday weekend, and it would be a great soft opening for the congregation. There were smaller crowds to test the reopening. Whether we are here, wherever we might be, we need to be taking that time to worship God. It's about worship and it's about rest, to honor God, because God knows what is best. When God rested on the seventh day, why do we think we don't need that rest? Have to be careful there. The fifth commandment, honor your father and your mother as the Lord your God has commanded you so that you may live long and that it may go well with you in the land the Lord your God is giving you. Honor. It means to respect. It means to venerate, to glorify, to hold parents in high regard. What God is about in the parental relationship from mother and father to children is that the mother and father would be those shepherds to the children and bring them into a saving relationship with God as well. And then 6th through 9th commandment, you shall not murder, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not steal, you shall not give false testimony against your neighbor. Those are serious ones. We need, but they're kind of like self-explanatory not to go there. So I want to end with 10. And this is where I thought you were going to go with the children's moment at 8 o'clock, but, you know, about coveting that remote and how that can cause us to be angry with whatever it might be. You shall not covet your neighbor's wife. You shall not set your desire on your neighbor's house or land, his manservant or maidservant, his ox or donkey, or anything that belongs to your neighbor. You shall not covet. The danger is never being content with what we have. This commandment probes into our minds. It probes into our desires, our intentions, our motivations. Why do we do what we do, or why do we want what we want? And whenever I read this 10th commandment, I always go back to a conversation I had with some people that were able to go to Kajado back in 2004 and visit there with the natives of the land. And on one of those days, we were going out on the trek, and when you see giraffe just roaming in the field, you follow them off. And by the time we found where the giraffe were and our three vehicles stopped, we came across a hut. It was a mud hut. It was a dome kind of thing, very small and cramped. I almost couldn't get through the doorway, made of cow dung or whatever dung they found out there on the grassland. And we got to talk with the people, the ladies that lived in that home. They had nothing compared to what we have, but they were happy. They were filled with joy. And I will always remember that encounter about the purity of one's desires. I had a similar experience when I was able to go to India and visit Jamked. We have to be satisfied. It's not about coveting what else is going on out there. For a closing thought about this, I wanted to read 2 Chronicles 28:9. And you, my son Solomon, acknowledge the God of your father and serve him with wholehearted devotion and with a willing mind. For the Lord searches every heart and understands every desire and every thought. If you seek him, he will be found by you. But if you forsake him, he will reject you forever. In the commandments, in Deuteronomy 11, in 2 Chronicles 28, over and over, God instructs his people to seek him, to trust him, and we'll be blessed. If we forsake him, there is rejection and there is cursing. So back to the question. Can we each take God at his word? Can we stay within his boundaries? And can we trust him to know what's best for us? It is God's word. To know what's best for us. It's my daily prayer. I lost track of how many people told me this morning they would not want to be in my shoes managing this whole COVID-19. And it's not my shoes, it's the leadership together that is doing this and trying to have everybody in mind and everyone's good. But it's my daily prayer, God lead me, because he is the one that knows what's best for us all. So I've got the first and the third down, it's that middle one. To stay within the boundaries. And for this morning, we outline the Ten Commandments. Have you gone outside God's road markings? As you reviewed these, were you aware? I'm aware when I have gone outside those road markings. The first step is just to tell God. So one saving grace with my mother, I called her. I wanted to be honest with her up front. When we have gone outside the road markings, all we have to do is be honest and tell God. Because God promises his love. God promises his forgiveness. We tell him what we've done. We tell him where we are. And we tell him that all we want to do is live as God directs. Then we start reading the Bible. We study it. We love it. And we live by it. Praise be to God. Amen.
1 Corinthians 3:11. For no man can lay a foundation other than the one which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. I invite you to stand as you're able, and we'll sing number 275, How Firm a Foundation. After the benediction, we'll have Lord dismiss us with thy blessing.
Thank you.
Receive this word of benediction. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make your paths straight. Go in his peace. Amen.